And so I'm excited to be here with you this morning. And I am Pastor Sam. I have the joy of working with our students here at Life Center Kanata. And it's truly beautiful to see all it is that God is doing, both in the lives of our students, but also here on Sunday mornings. And so I'm excited to wrap up our Practicing the Way series, which we have been going through over the summer. Over the summer, we've been looking at a variety of different disciplines, spiritual disciplines, and unpacking those, looking at how we can apply those to our lives and grow in our relationship with Jesus. And so today, we're going to be wrapping up by talking about the practice of fasting. But before we get there, there's just something that I feel like we need to talk about. Because before we can talk about fasting, I think we just need to talk about God. See, God's hand is powerful, and one of the greatest tactics of the enemy is to lead us to believe that God is either unwilling or incapable of meeting our needs. The truth is that the enemy desires to plant lies in our hearts regarding God's care for you and I. Sometimes when we seemingly face impossible situations or challenging circumstances, the first thing that we can hear is God going to do anything about it? Does he care about what you're walking through? And it can be easy to buy into those lies. Or maybe there's little seeds of doubt that may pop into your mind that somehow may lead you to believe that God is incapable of doing exceedingly more than you could ever ask, think, or imagine. You see, there are big situations that we face in life. There are major challenges. There are unexpected circumstances that we all face. And in those moments, the enemy will seek to distract us from God and place our focus on the issue. And so I'm just here to remind you this morning, if nothing else, that God is good. That his heart for you is deep. That his love for you is deeper and wider and more magnificent than you could ever imagine. Not only that, he is more than capable of meeting every need in your life. I want to share with you a quick story. It's found in the book of Numbers, and it's about the people of Israel. They're going through the wilderness. They've left Egypt at this point, and God has been providing them with food in the midst of a space where there is no food. He's been providing them with manna, and the people of Israel have appreciated this for a time, but are now thinking back to all the glorious, they seem to remember that it was glorious foods that they were eating in Egypt. And so they begin to complain. They begin to grumble and talk and remember, like, do you remember when we were in Egypt, how amazing it was? It's funny how our memory can play games with us at times. But in the midst of that, Moses brings this to God and he says, listen, the people want something different to eat. God is not pleased with their attitude, and yet he says that he is going to do something spectacular. He says that he's actually going to feed the people of Israel meat in the middle of desert and wilderness. I'm going to read a little bit from Numbers chapter 11, starting in verse 21 to 23, and it says this. But Moses said, the people among whom I am number 600,000 on foot, and you have said, I will give them meat that they may eat a whole month. So Moses is thinking, there are 600,000 people here. I'm just one of these 600,000 people. And God, you've said that you're going to feed us meat so much so that we'll be able to eat for a month. He's thinking about it practically. I don't know if we have any other practical people in the room. I certainly am. When somebody tells me, makes me a promise, I'm like, let me see. Like, are you serious? Like, are we, like, is this, like, for real that you're going to, like, give me $1 million? Like, I don't know. Like, that doesn't seem accurate. I think about it. And I think Moses in this moment is trying to make sense of what God is speaking. And so in verse 22, he asks a few questions. Shall flocks and herds be slaughtered for them and be enough for them? Shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them and be enough for them? And the Lord said to Moses, is the Lord's hand shortened? Now you shall see whether my word will come true for you or not. Is the Lord's hands shortened? In other words, am I not capable of doing what I said I was going to do? Am I not capable of meeting your needs in the midst of impossible situations? I've delivered you from Egypt. I've allowed you to cross through the Red Sea. I've fed you with manna from heaven. And yet, have I changed since then? Have I changed since yesterday? I will do as I said. And so when we think about God, I just want us to start with the foundation of God is good, He is faithful, and He is capable of meeting your needs. And not only is He capable of it, He desires to provide for you. And so today we're going to continue talking about fasting. Last week, Pastor Mitch opened up this spiritual discipline by encouraging us to set a rhythm for fasting. And this week, I just want to, for a few moments, talk about how fasting can impact your walk with Jesus. Here's one of the primary ways that fasting can transform our relationship with God, and it's that fasting amplifies our prayer. Fasting has a way of actually amplifying our ability to both hear God and be heard by God. You see so many different examples of it within Scripture. For example, Moses fasted for 40 days and nights as he received the Ten Commandments from God. Ezra, a prophet of Israel, prayed and fasted with the Israelites as they were traveling, and he asked God for protection, and it happened. Nehemiah fasted when he realized the sorrow and the state of his people, and God gave him favor to do something about it. Esther prayed for favor with her king, and it was given to her. See, when we need to hear God or be heard by God, we can practice fasting. There's something about it that is deep and profound. It's not simply just about being hungry, but there's a space in which God honors fasting. I don't always understand it. It's not something that is like, okay, is it, Lord, will you move in my life because I'm fasting? And like, I'm fasting because I'm hungry. Like, what is it about fasting that like makes it so that you'll do something in my life? Truth is, we cannot fully understand fasting, and yet we know that God listens when his people pray and fast. You know, God moves in the Old Testament, but he also moves in our modern world. I want to share with you a quick story that you may or may not be familiar with, but it takes place in 1940, and I'll just read it to you for a few moments. In May 1940, the German High Command had the British Army encircled and were proceeding to annihilate it. The rapid advance of German forces across France and Belgium isolated British troops, leaving them vulnerable to being killed or captured. Churchill, Prime Minister of England, feared he'd have to announce the greatest military disaster in British history. This was a grave crisis. British forces called for an evacuation of their soldiers stranded in Belgium. The only port available was Dunkirk. Churchill feared the majority of Britain military leadership and infantry would be killed, captured, if something couldn't be done. And so, King George VI, in a radio speech delivered on May 24th, 1940, called for a national day of prayer. Here's what he said. At this fateful hour, we turn as our fathers before us have turned in all times of trial to God Most High. Here in the old country, I have asked that Sunday next be observed as a day of national prayer. Let us with one heart and soul humbly but confidently commit our cause to God and ask his aid. With God's help, we shall not fail. Millions in the UK flock to churches. Photographs show thousands lined up at Westminster Abbey waiting to enter prayer, a day set aside for everything else in order to call on God. As a result of this, here are a few things that happen. The first miracle was that German forces were only 10 miles from Dunkirk when Hitler ordered them to halt. Nobody knows why. The second miracle came in the form of a violent storm that grounded squadrons of German planes under the cover of the storm. British troops moved to the coast and were readying for evacuation. The third miracle came in the form of a great and unprecedented calm settling over the normally rough and choppy English Channel. This enabled an armada of ships, ferries, and privately owned motorboats, and even rowboats to cruise back and forth, rescuing stranded soldiers. At the outset of the evacuation plan, the British expected to rescue between 20,000 and 30,000 soldiers, leaving the rest stranded. Churchill reported to Parliament that 335,000 men had been carried out of the jaws of death and shame to their native land in what could only be described as a miracle of deliverance, the outcome of which arguably saved the whole of England and the war. God hears his people. When we focus on him, when we take time to intentionally set everything else aside, including, in this case, food, God is faithful to meet with us and to move on our behalf. And so fasting can amplify our ability to hear God and be heard by God. In Acts 3, 1-3, there's a group of followers of Jesus meeting. And they're praying and they're fasting, and God is faithful to meet them. Let's read a few verses together. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now there in the church at Antioch, prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work of which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. And so here we see a group of followers of Jesus. They're worshiping and they are fasting. And in this space, they're able to discern God's voice uniquely and clearly. That they're meeting together and all of a sudden they hear the Holy Spirit say, "Barnabas and Saul, send them." What results from that is Saul and Barnabas are able to go and perform miracles and testify of the Lord's goodness and bring the church to different places. They are anointed to do so, and you can trace it back to this space of praying and fasting and seeking God. So fasting aligns our focus. It allows us to posture ourselves in a place to receive direction from God. And fasting physically prepares us to hear God. This is what I find intriguing, is that God is not like just out there and he doesn't interact with us in a physical sense. Because you see, fasting does some pretty remarkable things to our body. First, it increases blood flow to the brain. Secondly, it increases neural connections while decreasing neurotransmitters like anxiety and depression. And it increases our self-awareness in our body. So in other words, fasting is then a way of sharpening our mind and being more alert, more focused, and perceptive. The way that God interacts with us, yes, is in spirit, but it also affects our physical body. And this is part of the joy of fasting. And so fasting allows us to hear God's voice more clearly and more effectively, and it postures ourselves not just spiritually but physically to receive all it is that God desires to speak to us. And so we're able to hear God more clearly when we fast, but we are also able to call out to God. I don't know about you, but there are basically always things in my heart and in my mind that I need God's grace in. I need God. If you don't, that's all right. But I need God to move in my life on a daily basis. Like, I need his grace to awaken in the morning. I need his grace to be patient. I need his grace to interact with the people around me. I need his grace to just do what he's called me to do. I need God's grace. And that's just to live life, not to mention the unexpected things that arise. And so when it comes to fasting, it provides us a unique space to both hear God, but also be heard by him. See, in the book of Esther is a fascinating, fascinating story. I won't go through all of it. I'd encourage you to read it if you feel so inclined. But what fascinates me about the book of Esther is that God's name is not explicitly mentioned throughout that book of the Bible. But yet you see God's fingerprints all over. And so this is a bit of a side note, but if I can encourage you with anything, it's that you may not always see God explicitly in your life. But when you look back, you'll see his fingerprints all over every part. And so in the book of Esther, Esther finds herself in a really tough spot. So she's a Jew, and in that space, in that city where she is, she is actually the queen, and so she's married to the king, but she's a Jew, and there's a high official in that space who is desiring to eliminate all the Jewish people in that city. And so she finds herself in this place of, like, figuring out what to do. She's been given a place of influence, but like doesn't know what she is to do. And so in this space of trying to discern direction and also ask God to move and intervene for her and her people, we read this conversation that she has with her uncle Mordecai. Esther 4, 15 to 16. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go gather all the Jews to be found in Susa, where they were living, and hold a fast on my behalf, and do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my young women will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." In the midst of a tough moment, Esther knows the power of fasting. And so she engages it, and what happens is that there is a place of trust that she engages with God. She trusts God's faithfulness and God's sovereignty. There is a place of submission that she engages, even when she says, "If I perish, I perish." In other words, you could look at that as, you know what? Whether God moves in the way that I expect, I want him to or not, I trust him. I submit to his will. And lastly, she positions herself in a space for transformation to take place. In other words, to see God's hand move in her life. You know, sometimes we can walk through life and God maybe this is just me. God can do things in my life sometimes and I take credit for it. I'll pray about it. And then I'll see God do it, and I'll be like, "Oh, it's because I spent extra time, you know, working on that thing," or "It's because I'm so good at like being diligent or working hard." Or, but when we position ourselves in fasting, what we're doing is saying, "God, I submit to you, and I realize that without you, I can't do anything, and so I will fast. And I will open my eyes to see the way that you will be at work as a result of me seeking your face. As I seek you, you are faithful to provide, to be with me, to walk with me, and to transform impossible situations. And so, friends, I don't know what is going on in your life currently, but I just want us to take a brief moment, because I believe it's not just me who needs God on a daily basis and who's got some things going on where I need direction or God's provision. And so I want us to just take a brief moment in prayer and reflection. And so for the next few moments, if you wouldn't mind just bowing your head and closing your eyes. And I want you to take this moment to simply identify an area of your life that could benefit from an amplified ability to hear God's voice or to be heard by God. So identify one area of your life that could benefit from an amplified ability to hear God's voice or to be heard by God. And then I want you to consider the potential impact that hearing God's voice more clearly or being heard by God could make in that area of your life. So as you think of that situation in your life right now, consider the impact of hearing God's voice or being heard by Him. So in a few moments, we're going to dismiss, but here is my challenge to you, is engage a place of fasting this week about this specific area. Could be one meal, could be a day, even in this moment, you can pray about what that could look like. But engage a place of prayer and fasting. And then the other part to this is make note of what comes next. In other words, open your eyes to see where God may be at work in your life this week. As you pray and seek Him, trust that He will move on your behalf. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you that you are such a loving God, a God whose compassion is endless and whose power is unmatched. And so, Father, I just pray over every person in this room, whether they feel strong this morning or whether they're feeling a little weary in their soul. Father, I pray for strength over them. Father, I pray for faith over each person in this room to know your heart for them and to be able to trust you in every moment, that they would not listen to any lies of the enemy, but that they would be planted in you, that they would remain steadfast in their posture of trusting you and seeking your face. And so would you lead us this week? Would you show us what it looks like for us personally to engage a practice of fasting so that we may hear your voice more clearly and that we may share our hearts with you more fully? And so would you lead us and guide us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.